And by the, for those of you who are new, maybe a word of explanation. We are not the local church. We don't have elders that rule over us here. We have a board. We are faculty and you are students, and this is an educational environment, and we are a servant to the church, but we are not the church, and we don't try to take the place of the church. That may also explain why, while we do not train women to be elders or pastors because of our understanding of the roles of men and women in the church, we do have women on our faculty, we have women on our board, and we will have women speak from this platform, because some of the most gifted, if not the overly gifted, of the churches in which you will serve, they will be female. And the majority of those that will attend your church will be female. And part of our purpose in being together in these kinds of settings is to learn to live as brothers and sisters in Christ and co-oping in ministry together for the body of Christ. And that's a multitude of ministries that cross the genders and cross the needs in a congregation. And so I wanted you to know how that fits within what we do and how we do what we do here at Dallas Seminary with our teaching position, and yet also it's important to expose all of us to different kinds of ministry, different leaders in ministry of various ministries, and that's part of our chapel purpose. So it's with great privilege that I introduce Dr. Lynetta Manning to you today. Many of you know her. She has served here at DTS since 2004 as the advisor for women students, working along with our Vice President for Student Services, Dr. Bob Garippa, in his division. Her job entails counseling, encouraging, mentoring, training, and walking alongside our women students to help with their preparation for life and ministry, and she does that well. She was married for 37 wonderful years to her college sweetheart, Mike, until the Lord took him home 4.5 years ago. She has two adult children, her son Jeff Manning, who's married to Erica, and her daughter Molly, Rudy, who was playing the tambourine and who's also a student at DTS. And she has four amazing grandsons. She says she's working on a baseball team. So Molly, that means you've got at least two or three more that will have to come to the field. Would you join me this morning in welcoming Dr. Lynetta Manning?
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, and thank you. It is a blessing to be here. And I want to say a special word of thanks to our beautiful musicians, to Jolena and Elizabeth and Allegra and Karina and Molly. They blessed me this morning with a very, very, very favorite song for me, and one that I depend on a whole lot. Fear. All right, I've said it. There it is. It's interesting how that word will strike fear in our hearts. Sometimes it causes even a visceral reaction. It causes some sort of emotional reaction, even when we hear the word fear. I've lived most of my life controlled by fear. It's not a good place to be. It's not a good way to be controlled. But I grew up in a home with a father that was very, very fearful. I understand now that he had that fear because of his great love for me. He wanted to protect me. He wanted nothing to happen to me. But because I lived in that atmosphere of being afraid of something happening that would be bad all the time, I grew up learning how to fear. His intentions were good. They were to protect me and to love me well. But the effect on me was not so good. Fear can control us. It can immobilize us. It can cause us to make really bad decisions. And fear can keep us from fully enjoying who God created us to be and fully realizing the potential that he has planned for us. It can also keep us from accomplishing what he wants us to do. At this year's orientation, Dr. Bailey quoted a quote from T.S. Eliot. What he said was, "What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from." This really resonated with me, but I couldn't quite put my finger on why. But it stuck with me and stuck with me and stuck with me. And finally, when I was beginning to put this talk, final touches on this talk, it all began to come together as to why that had really resonated with me. Because I realized that fear is often caused by our not being willing or ready for the end of something to come, or we fear what a new beginning is going to look like or what it may mean for our lives. I want to share a story with you about a college student named Rose. This has been circulating on Facebook, and some of you may have read it, but her story is told by a young male student. The first day of school, the professor introduced himself to the class, and he challenged us to get to know someone that we didn't know in the class. I stood up to look around when a gentle hand touched my shoulder. I turned around to find a wrinkled little old lady beaming up at me with a smile that just lit up her entire being. She said, "Hi, handsome. My name is Rose. I'm 87 years old. Can I give you a hug?" I laughed and enthusiastically responded, "Of course you may." She gave me a giant squeeze. "Why are you in college at such a young age?" I asked. She jokingly replied, "I'm here to meet a rich husband, get married, and have a couple of kids." "No, seriously," I asked. I was curious what might have motivated her to be taking on this challenge at this stage in her life. "I always dreamed of having a college education," she said, "and now I'm getting one." After class, we walked to the student building and we shared a chocolate milkshake. We became instant friends. Every day for the next 3 months, we would leave class together and talk nonstop. I was always mesmerized listening to this time machine and as she shared her wisdom and her experience with me. Over the course of the year, Rose became a campus icon, and she easily made friends with everyone on campus, wherever she went. She loved to dress up, and she reveled in the attention that was bestowed on her by all the students. She was living it up as a college student. At the end of the semester, we invited Rose to speak at our football banquet. I'll never forget what she taught us. She was introduced and stepped up to the podium. As she began to deliver her prepared speech, she dropped her 3x5 cards with her notes on it. Frustrated and a little embarrassed, she leaned to the microphone and said, "I'm so sorry, I'm a little jittery. I'll never get my speech back in order, so I'll just let me tell you what I know." She cleared her throat and began, "We do not stop playing because we're old. We grow old because we stop playing. There are only a few secrets to staying young, being happy, and achieving success. You have to laugh and find humor every day. You've got to have a dream. When you lose your dreams, you die. We have so many people walking around who are dead and don't even know it. There's a huge difference between growing older and growing up. If you're 19 years old and lie in bed for one full year and don't do one productive thing, you will turn 20 years old. If I'm 87 years old and stay in bed for a year and never do anything, I will turn 88. Anybody can grow older. That doesn't take any talent or any ability. The idea is to grow up by always finding opportunity in change. Have no regrets. The elderly usually don't have regrets for what we did, but rather for the things that we did not do. The only people who are the saddest at death are those with regrets." Rose concluded her speech and challenged each of us to live out our futures not with fear, but by becoming all that we could be. At the year's end, Rose finished her college degree that she had begun several years before. 1 week after graduation, Rose died peacefully in her sleep. Over 2,000 college students attended her funeral in tribute to the wonderful woman who taught by example that it's never too late to become all that you can possibly be. Rose met life head on. She took advantage of life and new beginnings. She faced her future not with fear, but with hope of becoming all that she could become. Another woman recently almost said the same thing after swimming and setting a new record, 64-year-old Diana Nyad, an American author, journalist, motivational speaker, and world distance swimmer. She came out of a 30-year retirement to reattempt an elusive dream. She knew the risks, the dangers, the challenges, and faced all the naysayers, and she accomplished her dream, a new beginning as a champion and a hero as she conquered the 110 miles between Cuba and Florida. When asked what lessons she learned from the experience, she said, "Live life boldly and fiercely. Never give up, and you won't look back with regrets. You are never too old to follow your dreams." What dreams do you have for your future? And what fears are keeping you from reaching those dreams? How will you face your future, with faith or with fear? We all wonder about our futures. Some of you came to the seminary just a few weeks ago, and some of you have been here a while, and some of you are planning to graduate and get out of here. But you all have something in common. You have questions, and you probably have some anxiety and some fear. Some of you are already wondering, why did God bring me here? Why am I writing all these papers? Some of you are wondering, what am I going to do when I get out of here? I hear these questions from students all the time. We want to know the future and what it holds. We think that if we only knew what was ahead for us, we would feel more comfortable and we would breathe a lot easier. Experts say that 60% of the things we fear will never take place. That's not entirely comforting if it means 40% will. Our materialistic, secular culture seeks safety in financial and physical security. How's that working for us? Not well. So what fears worry you the most this morning? And what are you wondering about your future? Some of the things that we want to know, and some of the things that I've heard from you, are what ministry will I have after I graduate from DTS? Will I find true love? Will I get married? Who will my life mate be? Will I ever have children? Where will I live? Will God really come through for me? Am I going to have to suffer with health issues, disappointment, pain, death? Will I have to give up my hopes and dreams? Will I be too old to be used in ministry? Or the reverse, am I too young to be effective and useful in ministry? Or will I be abandoned and betrayed? And the questions go on and on and on. What if we knew our futures? What if we knew our futures? I am a widow, and T.S. Eliot's words that Dr. Bailey quoted, "To make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from," have never proven truer than going through the experience of death and dying, losing a spouse, and becoming a widow. I never thought I'd be in this position. I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't like it. But the fact remains, I'm a widow. 4.5 years ago, my husband Mike, his life on this earth came to an end after a 9-year struggle with kidney cancer. It all began the year I graduated from DTS. In many ways, it seems like yesterday, since he started his battle with cancer. The whole experience has been the hardest thing in my life that I have ever been asked to go through. I had lost my father, I had lost my mother, I had lost several very close friends, I'd lost pets, I'd lost things. All of those things had been hard in one way or another, but nothing had been as hard as this particular loss. So not only did he die, but so did I in many ways. I've had to let go of my desires and my thinking of how life would be and accept the reality of the way that it is. I had to die to the hopes and dreams of a long married life with my husband. I had to let go of the desire that my grandchildren would get to spend time with Nana and Papa. I had to realize that I would never feel his touch again, hear his voice again. I would not have him as my greatest advocate and my companion for many more years. I could no longer go to him for the counsel and wisdom that I had grown to trust and cherish. Instead, I started to have to do the things that he had done so competently. Now I had to learn how to pay the bills, mow the yard, take out the trash, bring home a paycheck to provide for myself, and to make major decisions alone. Now I was alone, and I had to accept the reality. But even before we got to the end of his life, I had a decision to make when my husband was diagnosed with this cancer. I wanted to know the future. What was going to happen? Would he be healed? Would he live many years? Would it just be a few? How would we tell the kids and help them to accept what it looked like the inevitable reality was going to be? How would we pay the medical bills? And on the questions went. Would I face the future with fear or with faith? Was my life over, or did God have more for me to become and more for me to do? I wanted to hold on to the life that we had known. It had been happy. We had done lots of things. It was enjoyable. What would I have done if I had known the future before the diagnosis? What choices and decisions would I have made if I had known that the man that was asking me to marry was going to die of cancer? Would I have been afraid to marry him? Would I have chosen not to marry him? Would I have let fear dictate my decisions? Would I have let fear dictate the days ahead that were yet unknown to me? Would I have even gone to seminary? Would I have had courage to follow God to help me become who he wanted me to become? What I learned about God in seminary was what would be that would carry me through the days yet to come. I learned the truth about my first love, Jesus. We've all heard the quote, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." This is true, and at some level we do believe this, yet we still worry. We still have these questions. We fear, we wonder, we doubt, we worry. Jesus even addresses the subject of worry in Matthew. He says, "Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We are not to worry about the future. So what are we supposed to do? Will you face your future with faith or with fear? You're going to learn much while you're here in seminary. You're going to learn about yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're going to learn about others, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're going to learn about life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you're going to learn about ministry, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And hopefully, most of you will learn the most about God. You will learn about who he really is, and not who you thought him to be or who you wanted him to be, but who he really is. You hopefully will learn that he is good, and he is good all the time, and all the time he is good. So how are we to face the future with faith instead of fear? What can we do to grow that faith? Scripture says that God gave us a spirit of fear, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. How do we experience that power, love, and self-control when we need it the most? Turn with me to Psalm 86, verses 11 through 13. This is verses 11 through 13, Psalm 86. "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from Sheol." This psalm is attributed to being an individual lament and petition written by David. The psalmist confesses that the Lord is good and forgiving and that his love is steadfast. The psalmist's words teach that we need to learn that the Lord also has a way that we are to know the truth and walk in that truth. These are just a few verses, but I feel like they are packed with the truth that God's love is great and steadfast towards us. While I was in seminary in the years after, I learned that God did have a way for me, and I had a way for me, and the two were not exactly the same. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You, like me, may be at seminary thinking you know exactly why you came and exactly where you're going when you get out of here. Or some of you may not have a clue why you're here now that you are here. Some of you may not have a clue what you want to do when you do leave here. But what most of you will experience, like me, is that God sometimes has very different ways from getting us from point A to point B. And so these are the lessons and points that I learned from Psalm 86. And I pray that your takeaway today will be that God is faithful all the time. Even in the confusion and the chaos, even in the times that are the darkest and look the most despairing, even in the disappointments and the discouragements, He is there and He is faithful to help us. These are the five lessons that I learned from these verses, and I hope that they will help you too to understand how to face the future with faith and not with fear. Learn about who God really is as you go through this seminary. It's the very best place in the world to explore in great depth and learn the truth about God, and then act on that truth and experience the truth of a faithful God's relationship with you. He wants to teach you about Himself. Know the faithfulness of the Lord. He is always faithful, even when we're not. Be willing to be fully present in what He's doing right now in your life and to learn what He's teaching you today. Look at the ways He's been faithful to you in the past. Let that encourage you and challenge you and strengthen you to see His faithfulness today. He is consistent. He will always be faithful. Unite your heart to His. Trust God with your future and don't ask to know what it'll be. He more than likely isn't going to tell you anyway. Like you, like me, you may not want or need to know, or it would scare you to death if you did. And it would paralyze you, and it might make you make wrong choices. Thank Him for His constant presence for you. Have that attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. Do and obey the next thing that He shows you to do. Maybe it's just a small assignment or job to you, but in His plan, it may be a very big step in where He's taking you. I'll guarantee you that He wastes nothing in His economy. It all will fit together once you get to where God wants you to be. And you will see that. Maybe it's someone to help you. It may be a resource you never thought about. Maybe it's a way that He wants to provide for you that you didn't think of. But obey it or do it, whatever it is that He shows you. He has a plan, and He's in the process of preparing you for that plan. Don't miss the journey that He has you on today because you're worried about the future. It's not as much about arriving at the destination as it is about obeying and being obedient along the journey and learning the lessons that He wants to teach you. He has the future secured for you. You don't have to worry about that. It might be hard. It might be sad. It might be devastating for a while. It might be totally different than what you had in mind. But be fully present and fully engaged in the daily journey. Obedience displays your trust in Him. And then praise the Lord with your lips and with your life. This is what you can give back to Him. Praise God with your heart and trust the times of confusion and the future that's yet unknown to you. Trust those to Him. Others will be encouraged and strengthened as He's lifted up in your praises as well. And in your praises and with your life, you will glorify Him. Today, I'm a widow. I'm surviving. 4.5 years ago, and looking to the future, I wasn't sure that I could, nor was I sure that I wanted to. I am in many ways also thriving because I've seen the faithfulness of the Lord in the good times and in the darkest of times. I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing now here at the seminary. It was not on my radar. It was not on my agenda. But it was God's plan for me. My plan was to go back into church ministry or into hospital chaplaincy. But God knew best, and I've now served here for 9 years. It has been a blessing to me beyond all measure, a place of great nurturing, a place of great learning, a place of great love that I could not have orchestrated for myself through the healing and the devastation that I had just gone through. I never thought I could go through the pain that I've gone through, nor that I could do the things that I was and am still called to do. And at times, I still don't always deal with fear well, but I know what to do when the fear starts trying to creep in on me. God is always faithful to provide, to be there through many others, through many means, to strengthen and to help me. I do know that God is faithful and has a way for me to walk in His truth and not fear the future. The biggest blessing is that I never thought I could love the Lord more than the day that I became His, but I do. He has become my eternal husband now. It has not been an easy journey, but I know that I'm growing up, much like Rose in the story in the beginning. But I'm not yet all what the Lord wants me to become. I'm sure He's not finished with me yet. My husband was the love of my life, and I was blessed to have been married to him for 37 years. But the end of life as we had known it became the beginning, just as T.S. Eliot said. For my husband, his end was death, but his beginning was in the presence of the Lord. For me, the end of life as I had grown to know it was the beginning of what the Lord wants to do with the rest of my life and my relationship with Him. I want to live my life to the fullest. I want to follow the Lord closely, so closely that I become all that He wants me to become. I don't want to just grow old or just get through the next hours and the next days. I want to fully embrace everything that He wants me to receive from His plan for me. The Lord is always worthy of my praise. I want to lift Him up in praise with my lips and my life. Dr. Jim Dennison says this about faith and fear. Faith, like any other decision, requires a commitment that transcends the evidence and becomes self-validating. So name your fear. Examine it in the light of Scripture and reason. Then give it to God, asking Him to supply your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Your faith will position you to receive all that His grace intends to give. My prayer for you is that you will allow Him to take you to places that you never thought you could go, and that you become all that He wants you to become. I pray you'll learn who the Lord really is and know His faithfulness. And I pray that you will trust Him with your future and be fully present today to do the next thing that He shows you. And I pray that you do those things so that you will praise Him with your whole heart and glorify Him with your life. I still don't know what my future holds, but I do know I want to continue to know a future with the Lord by my side. And I know I can do in the future whatever it is because the Lord will be there. And if He's going to be there for me, I know He's going to be there for you. All I really want to know of the future is that He is in control and He is there. And because I know that about the future, I want to continue to learn more from Him, experiencing His steadfast love and faithfulness, trusting Him moment by moment to do the next thing He asked me to do. How about you? How will you face your future? With faith or with fear? Will you pray with me? Lord, we praise You for Your faithfulness. There is no one like You, and there is no better or safer place to be than with You. I ask for these precious ones as we journey through seminary and life that You would help each of us learn of the truth of who You are as we study Your word and walk with You. Help us to accept the joys, challenges, and disappointments or sorrows that are in the future for each of us. Help us to know that You are there to get us through, to help us be all that You want us to become. And Father, I pray for Your grace to just pour out upon each person within the hearing of my voice, that they might know and love You more every day of every moment of their life. And it's in the precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.